We're here to talk about sport and exercise nutrition because there are some different requirements when you're very active and you're getting fit. You'll have clients come in, they'll be interested. What's a typical sport nutrition consultation look like? What do people have to say? What do they want to know?
Well, I guess it depends on, you know, what type of client comes in. So you might have someone who has an endurance goal. You might have someone who's got a specific body composition goal within their sport. And then, of course, you've got your CrossFitter, your strength athlete, your boxing athlete. So, you know, there's a range of sports, a range of ages as well within the sports, and a range of goals. So you don't really have one set response. You tailor your response to what walks into your office.
Okay, so let's just pick off a few cases one at a time here. So let's think, clearly people are wanting to get enough nutrients mm-hmm. to be healthy. Mm-hmm. They need enough energy to complete their sport or exercise, and they probably want to stay lean. Is that fair? Those three things generally need to come together in some way?
Yeah, that is fair, and I think that having the three prongs together is really important. So performance is obviously important, being lean is obviously important, but being healthy is just as important. And I think that has been the forgotten prong of the little triad, if you like, to date. So nowadays, people are more concerned about how they can find that sort of interplay between performing well and being healthy.
Okay, let's pick some typical type things up. You've got someone who comes in to see you, they're interested in strength gains and building muscle. Mm-hmm. Are you telling them to take protein shapes, beef up on the protein? Is that part of the advice? What else would you be seeing in that sort of situation?
So it boils down to quite a similar thing across all athletes. It's about adequate energy. It's about optimal protein. So they need enough protein to build muscle. So for some people, that might be more protein. For other people, that might be just having the same amount of protein that they're having. But then the underlying goal there is to make sure that they have good quality whole foods to do that.
And is an issue in sport and exercise nutrition that because there's an extra energy requirement, there's often the case that people end up making that up with convenience foods or refined and processed carbohydrates that aren't necessarily good for their health?
Yeah, I think when athletes come and see me, they have been well briefed in the kind of mainstream nutrition environment, which is lots of carbs, some of them reasonable quality, some of them sort of junky carbs, a lot of you know, fast food and extra things in there. And then it's really about working out how much protein they need, how much carbs they need for their goal. If they want to get lean, it's actually about creating a calorie deficit. If they want to gain muscle and gain overall weight, it's actually getting a calorie excess. And then it's about cleaning up all those foods.
So you're definitely thinking about the total amount of calories.
Calories do count, absolutely, yeah.
So let's pick off a few questions one at a time. Mm-hmm. I'm a bodybuilder or I'm a strength trainer and want to build muscle. Do I need to take protein supplements and protein shakes?
You don't need to, but protein supplements and shakes can be very, very convenient. You know, when you're coming out of the gym and you're driving somewhere, having a piece of steak in your little bag in your car is not often convenient. So a protein bar or a protein shake can be quite useful.
So it's not substituting real food, but it's certainly a supplement that you would use.
And that's the perfect word. They are supplements. So food first, good quality food. Get adequate protein from good quality food, and then you can use added foods or supplements like good quality protein powders and various things to boost your protein intake.
I'm an endurance athlete getting ready for competition and I want to be lean. What advice are you giving me?
How long have we got? it's interesting because there are, you know, you could take the average athlete and just say, eat less, move more, right? And they will get lean. But the best way to do it is to get them fat adapted, right? So to get them eating lower carbohydrate, higher healthy fat, and to enable them to be able to increase their fat oxidation and use fat as a fuel source. All that, again, in the context of calorie deficit. Right?
So, okay, I hear what you're saying there, and I think that's important, is that if you can become very good at fat burning or become mm-hmm. fat adapted, double your ability to oxidize free fatty acids as a fuel, that's a powerful way to chew in to your body fat without the suffering of general starvation.
Absolutely. So one of the benefits, there are a multitude of benefits, but one of the benefits is that you don't actually feel that hungry. So it means that you're not snacking all day. And typically, if you're not snacking all day, you eat less calories overall.
Post-workout foods. Let's talk about post-workouts. When's it necessary to get straight into extra calories, carbohydrates, proteins? Do you need those? When should people do that?
Look, you need calories, carbohydrates and proteins for sure. But the nutritional window of opportunity that we used to talk about with mainstream nutrition, which is eat within 30 minutes, eat lots of carbohydrate, 4-to-1 ratio carbohydrate to protein, is not quite the same when you are a fat-adapted athlete. It is important to have good quality food, but the timing is not as important as it used to be. Evidence has shown that. And also, the amount of carbohydrate for recovery is not anywhere near as aggressive as it used to be. So you could come off a 3-hour bike ride, go to a cafe, have an omelette, have a coffee with milk, and that milky coffee will give you a good amount of carbohydrate for your recovery.
And so one thing that we're not really advocating in physical activity and exercise is hard session after hard session after hard session. Mm-hmm. I'm advocating in the programming more of a cycling. So you will do something hard here, maybe once, twice, three times a week, mm-hmm. and that'll be it. So there's really, you will regain your glycogen and glucose stores and be ready to have that output without too much extra effort.
No, I agree. And, you know, in a completely fat-adapted athlete, believe it or not, you will believe it because you know it, their glycogen stores are able to replenish themselves even on other substrates. So you don't have to eat carbohydrate to replenish your muscle glycogen.
Oh, that is a surprising fact, isn't it? That you can replenish carbohydrate stores with very little carbohydrate because you scavenge those carbohydrates from glycerol and whatnot, from fat.
Yeah, and from amino acids. And that's another reason why you need to make sure your protein and your total energy is adequate, because you don't want to be losing muscle for the benefit of replacing your muscle glycogen stores. So adequate energy, adequate protein, good quality carbohydrate, and your recovery will be fine.
So let's talk about the inflamed, stressed, some people would call this adrenally fatigued athlete. What are we talking about there? And can nutrition play a role in helping that type of person? Is that common?
Oh, that is so common. It's not even funny. Sadly, it's very common. And nutrition can be a lifesaver for these people, because when you tidy up your diet and you have whole foods and you have good quality carbohydrate rather than sugar, your body enters into a state of low inflammation. So you're actually getting rid of the inflammation and the stress through diet and through good quality foods.
Right, so one of the good things about exercise is it causes stress and, to an extent, inflammation, mm-hmm. and it's the recovery from that inflammation to be uninflamed that allows the body to build up and be stronger. Mm-hmm. But if we're having a poor diet and a lot of high intensity exercise, and we're in a constant state of inflammation, we're in maladaptation and not improving. And you think diet's got a major role to play there.
Absolutely. And if you are having a poor quality diet, as you say, you've got inflammation and then you're eating bad food, so you're adding to that inflammation. And the athlete, they are trying to perform and actually not getting anywhere. They might be getting somewhere performance-wise, but health-wise, they're in a real compromised state.
I think one of the most interesting clients you told me about was a male mountain biker that had foot problems. You want to talk about that case? Because I think it brings a lot of things together here.
Yeah, that's a really interesting case. So we'll just call him John. John is a recreational mountain biker. He loved his mountain biking. And he was a pretty overweight guy, and he had foot problems. So he had he had a few operations on his foot leading up, and he was just in a constantly inflamed state.
His foot was not, he wasn't walking on it well?
He wasn't walking on it at all, and to the point that his biking was being compromised because he actually couldn't balance on the pedals as well as he wanted to. And of course, when you're doing, he was an off-road, you know, mountain biker, and he was doing lots of these recreational weekends. So at times you get off your bike and you walk.
Have to.
You've got to push it, right? And he just was not shaping at all because of his foot.
And it was getting to the point where he was saying to you, as a dietitian, I think I'm going to just have my foot amputated because I'm sick of it.
Absolutely. And I was totally floored that he'd even consider looking at this massive source of inflammation on his foot and consider ruining his life and getting his foot chopped off. And thankfully, we sorted his diet and his inflammation went down. Look, his foot didn't get better because his foot's got problems, but the overall inflammation came down to the point that he wasn't even going back to the surgeon.
and he's able to mountain bike. Absolutely. And he can get off and run Walker's mountain bike just fine.
He can.
And it's never going to be the perfect foot.
No.
But he's sorted. And you think diet had a lot to do with it?
Diet definitely had a lot to do with it. Diet and nutrition is absolutely powerful when it comes to inflammation and overall health.
Okay, next one for you. Carb loading and eating carbs for performance during longer events.
Right, so it depends what philosophy you're looking at. So in the mainstream, old school, I have to say old school because it has changed. What is changing? A high carbohydrate diet, if you are using carbohydrate when you're exercising for endurance, you have to eat it all the time. You have to load up before, so pasta, rice, you know, bread, cereals, vegetables, that kind of stuff. And of course, you've got to then partner that with sports drinks and gels every hour on the hour while you are biking. In the less inflamed, low-carb, healthy fat space, when you are using fat, which is a nice clean fuel to burn, you become metabolically flexible. So you use carbohydrate when you need carbohydrate, you use fat when you need fat. And that lends itself beautifully to not eating so much sugar every single hour when you are biking, biking or running or whatever you're doing. So I must say that it is very important to figure this out for yourself. So some athletes might need to have more carbohydrates than others. So some athletes might need to have 1 gram of carbohydrate per kilogram of body weight on the hour every hour. And other athletes might be able to get away with up to a quarter of their requirements on the hour every hour. So it's there's a spectrum and you need to test that out to see what works for you.
Okay, here's an example of a male triathlete I coach at the moment, and he's doing the Ironman, which is a long distance triathlon. And I'll tell you what we're doing. So he's low carb as his base diet.
And has he fat adapted for a long time?
For a few months.
Good.
And we do add carbohydrate to his diet for some specific hard sessions. So he might have a couple of pieces of whole grain bread or bananas or that sort of stuff because we're working at a very high intensity. He does do long fasted workouts. So he could ride his bike for 6 hours with no food whatsoever, but at a low intensity. And on the day of the event, he would have had some carbohydrate meals coming in, dinner and breakfast. And during the event itself, he'll eat as many carbohydrates as he can tolerate. And I don't regard the event itself as having anything to do with health. It's not healthy.
No, it's not healthy at all.
It's not healthy. It's a stressful, achievement-orientated event. But chucking that many carbohydrates at your body and burning them over that many hours, I don't think's good for him.
It's not good for him, but thank goodness he doesn't race every weekend.
No.
So I think you were spot on there with your recommendations because it's almost like you're doing a bit of carbohydrate periodization or carb cycling and putting some carbohydrate in the sessions that you need more carbohydrate. So if you're doing high intensity, quick bursts of exercise, you might need a little bit more carbohydrate to fuel yourself then and for the next sessions. Whereas your longer, lower intensity, fasted sessions, you're going to get maximum mitochondrial adaptation to fat burning.
That's right. And so that's the thing that's really emerged in longer distance sport these days is that you can go for these long, easy workouts without having to have anything.
Yeah.
Okay, last question is around hydration and sports drinks. Mm-hmm. When do we need to be careful about staying hydrated? Like I see people out going for a 5 kilometre run and they're carrying their water bottle. Do they need that? Mm-hmm. At some point, you've got to drink something, right?
So I think looking at old school guidelines again, the guidelines were 750 mils of fluid on the hour, every hour. And that resulted in some quite severe outcomes like hyponatremia in ultra-endurance events, and then the guideline moved to more of a drink to thirst, and everyone was up in arms about it. When you're thirsty, it's too late and all that stuff. But the reality is that your body self-regulates really, really beautifully, and if you drink to thirst, you will stay hydrated. I think there's hydration during an exercise session and during an event. There's also hydration for the rest of the day, and instead of looking at exactly how much you drink, you need to be aware of symptoms. So if you are going to the toilet regularly, if you are feeling good, you don't have a dull headache or dry lips or feeling a bit off, then you know you are in a well-hydrated state.
The body wants to be hydrated. It's going to tell you that.
Absolutely.
Sports drinks?
So sports drinks for the average individual who is recreational athlete, who is training, they're just not that, well, they might be useful, but they're just not healthy. It's just pure sugar. So I think if people who are not racing seriously can stay away from sports drinks, that would be the best thing for them. But if you are doing a long endurance type event, even if you are trying to win it, or if you are trying to do as well as you can do, you need some carbohydrate. And you can get that carbohydrate from anywhere. You can get it from a sports drink, because that's going to give you sugar, electrolytes like sodium, and of course fluid.
Yeah. Bananas?
Or you can get it from bananas. But if you get it from bananas, you have to have water, because you're missing out. So the sports drink is good in that it kills three birds with one stone. Fluid and hydration, electrolytes and sugar. And if you're a fat-adapted athlete, you're having less sugar, you might not need a sports drink. But for those people who want to have enough carbohydrates, sports drinks can be particularly useful.
Okay, well, thanks, everyone. That's a wrap. Thank you for listening in. Thank you, Dr. Karen Zinn.